And how many are employees? I think there should be more employees than employers. So how can I be a godly employee? What would employers like to hear from their employees? I think it would be music to the ears of employers if their employees would tell them, "Boss, your wish is my command." Or, "The boss is always right." Wouldn't that be music to the ears of those who are employers? And such employees who obey every whim and fancy of their employers, whether the instruction given to them is right or wrong, good or bad, doesn't matter, as long as I can please my boss. They will be considered good employees. But as Christians, are we told to be good employees or godly employees? So the question is phrased correctly. How can I be a godly employee? Godliness must come first, then goodness. If we are godly, then goodness will come out of it. Godliness begets goodness. And our work, or our service, is only good when it is done in a godly way. So how can we as Christians be godly employees, godly workers? The Apostle Paul tells us how in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. And here he gives us good advice. In verse 5, we read, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ." The duty of servants is summed up in one word, and that word is the word obedience. Obedience. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And the Greek word here for obedience is the word hupakuo. And hupakuo literally means to hear under. To hear under. The word is applied to those who are under authority, who are underlings. So all employees are underlings, right? We are servants. And there are those who are our managers, our supervisors. They oversee us, they have authority over us. And this word is also used in verse 1. In chapter 6, verse 1, we are told here, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And the word obey here is the same word as the word obedient in verse 5. Children are underlings, and they are to obey the words or the instructions and the advice of their parents, who are their guardians and their overseers. So in the same way, servants or employees are to obey their bosses, who are their managers and their supervisors. And our employers are according to the flesh. And since they are according to the flesh, they have authority over us only in matters that are secular, not spiritual. They have no right whatsoever to rule over our faith and our religion. So we must get that right as employees. Whatever our bosses tell us to do, we must do, insofar as secular matters are concerned. But if any instruction or order contravenes our faith and our beliefs, our doctrines, our religious practices, then we cannot obey. We cannot follow. As children must obey their parents in the Lord. Well, this is right. Likewise, employees obey their masters or their employers only in the Lord, insofar as it doesn't go against our Lord, our faith, our religion. So please take note of this. And what kind of obedience are employees to render to their employers? Paul tells us that the obedience must be with fear and trembling. Second part of verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. In other words, employees are told here to show respect. To show respect to their employers. And be fearful to displease them. We must be afraid to displease them. We do not want to incur their anger or their wrath. So we must show them such respect and reverence. And such respect is shown to them because of their position, the position of authority that they hold as our head, as our superiors. Now, it's oftentimes said that respect must be earned. And I know of employees who are bold enough to tell their employers, respect must be earned. So if you want me to respect you, you better earn it from me. And I will not show you any respect if I don't like you. And so on. Even though you are my boss. Well, Paul does not practice such discrimination here. Paul tells us that we ought to respect our employers, whether we like it or not. Okay? Whether they are good employers or bad employers. Peter, likewise, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, says this, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward." Right? To the froward. So we ought to show respect, and we ought to regard our employers with fear and trembling, not only to those who are good ones, who are gentle and kind, but also those who are froward, unkind or unfair, unreasonable. We must also show respect to them. Did not Jesus also say, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain"? Matthew 5. Verse 41. And by going the second mile, we obey the command of God to love our neighbor. And our neighbor includes our enemies, even those we do not like, including our bosses who are unreasonable, unkind, or unfair, unjust ones. And by obeying the Lord, we do good, and no one can fault us. Right? No one can fault us. Or our Christian testimony. And furthermore, our good works will put our bad bosses to shame. So we ought to obey them with fear and trembling. Show them respect for the position they occupy, whether they deserve it or not. And that's what Paul, Peter, and the Lord are trying to teach us over here. Not just with fear and trembling, we are told here that we ought to obey them in singleness of heart. Right? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. In singleness of your heart. Now here the word singleness speaks of sincerity. Sincerity over against hypocrisy. We must render sincere and genuine service and not hypocritical service or work. The employee is called upon to work with pure motives, not with ulterior motives, with pure motives. He is not pretending to work, but actually working with the sole purpose of doing his job well, right? For the good of his employer and for his company, the company which he's working. He wants to do his level best for his boss and his company, that the company might succeed, right? In singleness of heart, with pure motives and not ulterior. And as we obey our masters, as servants, as we obey our masters or employers, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, we must not forget that ultimately we are serving the Lord. And so here we are told, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. As unto Christ. Christ must never be taken out of the equation in our work, in our service, in what we do. Whether we work in the office, whether we work in the factory, whether we work in the church, or out in the open, we must have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in mind all the time. We must have a biblical work ethic. We want to do our best in order to glorify our Lord and to bear a Christ-like testimony for Him. We are to be the light and salt of the earth. And most of our time is spent out there working wherever God has put us. And we want to reflect the nature of Christ in the place of our work. As unto the Lord. And when we serve the Lord in our secular work, it will redound to the glory of God. Our biblical work ethics and faith in Christ would show, and this would make it easier for us to reach out to our colleagues with the gospel of Christ. When I was doing my national service, because of the physical condition that I had, which made me unfit for the infantry, I was downgraded, and then they put me into the service vocation. So I was made a clerk. Instead of giving me a rifle, they gave me a typewriter. Now, that was my weapon. Actually, in those days, that was about 20 over years ago. The typewriters used in the army in those days were really heavy-duty ones. Huge, heavy, encased with metal. I think it is at least 20 kilograms. And if I wanted to use it as a weapon, I probably could. Right? And I'm sure it's bulletproof too, because it's so strong. Well, I resolved. Now, the army was not my cup of tea. I didn't like to be there. It's something all of us had to do. Those of us who are of age and male Singaporeans, go through. But I resolved, for the sake of Christ, to do my best. And I did my level best to serve the Lord sincerely in the office that I was in charge of, that was entrusted to me. And there was once where the headquarters inspected the respective company offices. There were five of them, from Alpha to Echo, A to E. I was in Echo Company. So they came to check, and after the inspection, the report was given out, was sent out, and the other four companies all had flaws, shortcomings, and they had to rectify. But it came to Echo Company, it was a clean slate, nothing at all. And in fact, it was discovered that our training directive was more up to date than that of the HQ. We had the perfect copy, not them. And so, in those days I didn't hide my faith. I talked about Jesus Christ. I talked about church. Before I took my meals, I said grace. They could see it. And what I discovered was this. When we bear a good Christian testimony and do our level best for the well-being of those who work with us, right? And for those whom we work under. And we do so because of our faith. We do so because of Christ. Those who are around us who are unbelievers will give us a listening ear, so that when I talk about Jesus Christ and I share the gospel with them, they readily listen. They readily listen. So I even shared the gospel and preached the gospel to my OC, my officer commanding. And he paid attention. And that is the reason why the Lord tells us here, dear friends, to work in such a way, to have such a biblical work ethic, to be obedient to our masters with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not hiding our faith. We do all this because of Christ. Because when we have such a biblical work ethic, it aids in our evangelism. Our evangelism will be effective. And we are told in verse 6, when we work, we should not do it with eye service. Not with eye service, as men pleases. Not with eye service. In other words, we do not work only when people are looking at us. When people are looking, when the boss is around, we are busy. When the boss is not around, we are lazy. I'm teaching in the Far Eastern Bible College, and many students have gone through the training grounds of the Bible College. And I've observed many students who have gone through FEBC, and there are some students who work with eye service. Work with eye service. When the matron is around, oh, busy, busy, busy. It'll be busy, you know, busy as a bee. But when the matron is absent, they idle themselves away. And some even pretend to be the matron and then boss other students around. I've observed this. Oh, we shouldn't be serving or be working like this. With eye service, only when our superiors, our bosses are looking at us, we show that we are very hardworking. We're not around, we are idling, or we are lazy, not doing anything. And we ought not to be men pleasers, but we work as servants of Christ. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ. The chief purpose in the life of every believer, in whatever occupation or vocation the Lord has put us in, has called us to, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Okay. To please Him, not as men pleases, but to be pleasers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be servants of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, Paul says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And as employees, we are first of all servants of Christ. We may be working for men, but first and foremost, even though we are working for men, we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our loyalty must be to Him first and foremost. Now, this is not to say that we should try as much as we can to displease our employers, since the Lord tells us here that we ought not to be men pleasers. We should do our best to please them, but we must never please our bosses, our employers, at the expense of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be foremost. That must be number one. Christ must be number one in our lives. And if our employers tell us to do something that is against Christ and His Word, against our faith, our convictions, our beliefs, against the commandments of the Lord, then we cannot obey. We have to disobey. And we must give them the reason why. That's why when we work out there in the world, we cannot be closet Christians. We must be transparent. We must not be ashamed of our faith. We must not hide our faith. We must openly declare it. And if anything contravenes our faith, or what the Word of God says, then we cannot obey. We cannot follow. In Acts chapter 5, 29, Peter and the other apostles told the religious rulers of their day, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. And if we seek to be approved by or be popular with men, to be men pleasers, then we are no longer servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. wherever we may be, whether in church or out there in the world, at work. If we seek to be popular with men, then we cease to be servants of Christ. And we are told here to be servants of Christ. And Paul wrote, in a service for the Lord, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Galatians 1, verse 10. But when we put Christ in the center of our life, in the center of our work, whether in church or whether out there in the secular world, we would be accepted not only by God, we'd be accepted by men. Romans 14, 18 tells us, For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. And approved of men. Not only did Paul tell us not to be men pleasers, but servants of Christ, he goes on to say that we ought to do the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. In other words, we must obey the commandments of the Lord. How to do the will of God is very simple. Just obey His commandments. And God commands that employees be obedient to their bosses. When we do that, we are doing the will of God. And we ought to serve them, our employers, out of the principle of love that stems from the heart. And we do so because we are constrained by the love of Christ. Because we love Christ, and the Lord Jesus says, "You love me? Don't just say it. You love me? What must you do? Keep my commandments. Obey my words." And when we say we love the Lord, we want to demonstrate it, not just in church, but also out there in the world. And so in the working world, as employees, we ought to be constrained by the love of Christ too. Because I love the Lord, I will serve under my bosses, employers, right, faithfully, carefully, lovingly. For it is the love of Christ that constrains me. And so the love of Christ would constrain us to live a holy life, whether at home, at work, at church, or at play. And by so doing, we will know the perfect will of God. Doing the will of God from the heart. And then verse 7 tells us, "With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." With goodwill, doing service. In other words, a godly employee must not harbor any ill intentions towards his employer. He will not do anything to sabotage or to jeopardize the business or the welfare or the well-being of his employer or his company. Even though the conditions under which he is working is not conducive or maybe unfair, he's not treated well, but in his own work ethic, he must overcome evil with good. And so we are told here, with goodwill doing service, we must not harbor any ill intentions. We must not try in any way to sabotage or to jeopardize the business or the well-being of our employer or his company. Okay. To take revenge, right? You treat me like this, you don't pay me, you even punish me or you penalize me, I'm going to get back at you. And then we sabotage. No, we ought to overcome evil with good. Right? With goodwill, doing service. And the goodwill here, the goodness here is moral goodness. Moral goodness. So, if we suffer any unjust or unfair treatment, We are not to be vengeful or vindictive, but we commit everything to the Lord. And He will vindicate us. Right? He will vindicate us in due time. And here in verse 7, we are also told, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Ultimately, we are reminded we are serving the Lord and we are accountable to Him. You know, when we as employees bear patiently with all the injustice we face at the workplace, we are following Christ's example. Wasn't our Lord ill-treated by the people? He came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. But how did they treat Him? He only did good for them. He gave them the good news. And He did good. Helped them in their troubles. Healed them of their diseases. Perform all those miracles. Was so kind and compassionate and so loving. But in the end, what did they do to Him? They crucified Him, isn't it? They brought in false witnesses. And then they told Pilate, crucify Him, crucify Him. And in this world that we live in, we can expect all these things when we try to live a godly life for the Lord, even at the workplace. And when we try to live a godly life and we face with all kinds of opposition and we are unfairly treated, we may be scoffed at, mocked at, and since you're Christian, I make you work double. All right? How should we then go about working as employees? Well, serve as to the Lord, not to men. Matthew Henry has rightly observed, and I want to quote what he said here. Matthew Henry said this, said, service performed with conscience and from a regard to God, though it be to unrighteous masters, will be accounted by Christ as service done to Himself. So all that we do, you know, it's not just serving in church. Sometimes we think that it's only when we serve in church, we do some religious thing for the Lord, then we will have rewards in heaven. The Lord says no. Even at your workplace, you may be doing secular work, but then you do it as unto the Lord because you love Him with pure motives, obeying His words, obeying His commandments. God takes note because you are serving Me. And the Lord will reward us accordingly. So please don't think that only pastors or full-time workers will have a lot of rewards in heaven because, you know, we are always doing God's work. Only Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew will be getting, you know, gold, silver, precious stones, and he will be greatly rewarded. No, even though we may not be called into full-time Christian service, wherever the Lord has put us, that is His will, His love for our life, we serve the Lord faithfully, lovingly, with goodwill in our hearts, doing service as unto Him, not to men. The Lord takes note. And if we work like this and we live a godly Christian life at our workplace, in secular work, serving the Lord, you may be first, I may be last on the judgment day. So please, let us be mindful of all these things. Wonderful instructions here, great wisdom, divine wisdom from the Lord, how we can succeed in this life and how we can be approved of God in heaven. And to hear the Lord says, and to hear the Lord say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay. Now we have been talking about employees, but how about employers? Well, there's one verse here in verse 9. I don't think this sermon is complete without the employer. I was wondering how can I be a godly employee, but is there a topic for how to be a godly employer? Is it in the schedule? I didn't see any. But anyway, I better deal with this because employers are also responsible to the Lord. And if you're a Christian employer, how should you behave? How should you conduct yourself? Now, verse 9, we are told, and ye masters, right, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. How should Christian employers behave? Christian employers are not exempt from God's commandment to love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord has commanded us. And this includes our employees, those who work for us or those who work under us. Our neighbor includes those who are under our charge. And we must love them as we love ourselves. And that is precisely what Paul meant when he said that masters should do the same things unto them. Ye masters, do the same things unto them. Love them as you love yourself. This is the golden rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Right? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye should that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Matthew 7 verse 12. And applying this golden rule, Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. We must be fair. We must be just, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And our master in heaven is righteous. Our master in heaven is full of justice. And we must be like our master. If we are bosses, we are employers, we must deal with our employees in the same way God deals with us, righteously and justly. So masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Don't exploit them. Give them what they deserve. Treat them as human beings, made in the image of God, and not like animals. Pay them on time. Be fair and just in your dealings with them. Of course, the list can go on, but you know, if you're employers, what you ought to do as a godly employer, as a Christian employer. And then Paul goes on to say, we should forbear threatening. Forbearing threatening. Do not threaten your employees. In other words, be positive in your approach in dealing with them, not negative in your approach. Instead of saying, you know, if you don't do your work, I will sack you, say rather, if you are obedient and diligent and faithful and careful and industrious and hardworking, I will give you a bonus. Forbear threatening, but take a positive approach to encourage them. And all who are masters ought to be aware that there is a master who is above all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Creator, our Savior, who judges all equally and fairly. For He does not discriminate between masters and servants, employers and employees. And so we are told here, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with Him. Don't think that you are master, your boss, your employer, rich and powerful, therefore you'll get off lightly. But more often than not, those who are in positions of authority, those who have more will be required of them. And God is not a respecter of persons. And He deals with everyone justly and righteously and fairly. So His law, His commandments, His instructions, His blessings and rewards apply equally to all, employer as well as employee. And so to both employers and employees, the Apostle Paul has this instruction in Colossians 3, 23 to 25. It says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. No respect of persons with God. So all of us must obey the Lord with fear and trembling. For He
sees all and he oversees everyone and all that we do.
So may the Lord grant us his grace to be godly employers as well as godly employees. And all this we do because we are constrained by the love of God. We want to be the salt and light of the world. We want to bear a good testimony for our Lord. We want to evangelize and preach the good news not only with our words, with our lips, but also with our lives. And when we do this, we glorify his name. And the Lord is well pleased with us. And he will reward us on the judgment day. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy wisdom from above and how we can be godly employers and employees. And even when we work out there in the world, there's much we can do for thee to live a godly life, to display godly conduct based on thy words so that people can see that the good news of Jesus Christ is indeed good news, is powerful. Because it is working in our lives. And it can work for their lives too. So that through our lives, others may be drawn to the salvation of Christ. So help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.